Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's Heart 1032, available on the web at heart1032.com.au.
Okay, well, our next guest says that even though good manners may seem petty compared to climate change, global poverty, terrorism, they are still most important. Lucinda Holdforth has recently penned a book called Why Manners Matter, putting forth her case for civilised behaviour in what she describes as an often barbarous world. She joins us now. Lucinda, welcome to Open House.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
In fact, I should say good evening, Lucinda, shouldn't I?
You should say good evening, and I should say good evening back.
Hey, when did you first feel the demise of manners, personally?
You know, I noticed the demise of manners when my manners began to fall apart. And it was interesting because I don't see myself as particularly well-mannered, just, you know, like just an average person. But after a while, I'd noticed that I'd, you know, what's the point of me waiting patiently in line? What's the point of me holding my tongue or turning off my mobile phone when nobody else does? You know, and you look around you and everyone else is just sort of barging ahead in the world. And I noticed that I was getting more inclined to do that too. And that began to worry me because I thought, gosh, if... You know, I'm someone that sees manners as important. If my own manners are sort of collapsing, does that mean we're all heading into some terrible, barbaric future where we all just give up on the whole agenda?
You do have to ask the question, how low will we fall? Because if it's the little things that we're giving up on, well, how low will we fall? And like you said, if it becomes the norm for people who at least are conscious of wanting to be people of good manners, then where are we heading?
Where are we headed? You know, I noticed, you know, when we see instances of road rage or people really freaking out, it's often not people who are usually rude. It's often people who are pushed to the brink, who just snap one day. And, you know, I have this terrible fear that, you know, we're going to have a collective sort of crack-up at some point.
How bad do you think we've become, Lucinda? How bad is it?
Well, of course, here in Australia, we're not a disaster. We're okay. But I think through history, the pendulum swings a little bit towards a sort of greater degree of civility and then on the other side to a greater degree of instability, barbarism, chaos. And I think the pendulum has now swung too far against civility. And that's why I'm keen to encourage a discussion about why manners matter and why we should make an effort individually and collectively to improve them.
What do you think are the forces behind that pendulum swinging one way or the other?
I think there's a couple of things. I think the absolute surge in the idea of individualism, which is something that's been going on for a couple of hundred years, but the idea that the individual is the centre of everything, pushing ahead, having their own way, you know, that we must all self-develop, have self-esteem, self-expression, all of these things are good up to a point, but not when they start making us see our happiness and fulfilment against society instead of within society. So I think what we've had is a sort of a breakdown of the sense that actually as human beings we find happiness in community, in our interactions with other people. And now we're all so obsessed with ourselves, aren't we, and just obsessed with getting ahead and Oprah and self-help and all of that seems to have just taken hold, and I think that that causes manners to decline.
Yes. Well, you've mentioned a few common manners there already in the sense of being patient while waiting in line, etc. What are some of the big ones you think that we're most in danger of losing and, you know, maybe the ones that have the most impact on society as a whole?
Well, I have a few thoughts on what I think. I think that some of the most important manners are really those basic things. Keeping your word, especially about time. I think people steal time from each other now by not being on time. Waiting your turn, looking after somebody who's weaker than you, so opening the door for someone a little bit slow or frail. Showing appreciation when somebody does a kind gesture or makes a kind offer, I think that's something we've forgotten how to do. Just to say thank you graciously and accept somebody's offer. I think those really simple things are the things that can make such a profound difference to our happiness.
Lucinda, you mentioned about opening the door for somebody. What about men opening doors for women? Because that's a source of great confusion for men these days as to whether that's in some way
Isn't that terrible? And I love it when somebody opens the door for me.
Do you?
I always waltz through and say thank you so much and give my biggest smile.
Yeah.
I know that part of what's happened is that generation of sort of of women and men, I guess, sort of 60s and 70s, trying to overturn sexism and racism and the class system, became really suspicious about gestures like that, gestures of manners, because they were seen as reinforcing, you know, the old patriarchy. But we're past that now, and if a man opens a door for me, all I think is, what a beautiful gesture, and I accept. I don't say, oh, no, no. I say, thank you, yes, walk through the door, and you know what? I like to open the door for people as well, and I'll open the door for women, and I've opened the door for men, and I like it when they say thank you to me.
Well, we're talking to Lucinda Holdsforth. She's written this book called Why Manners Matter. Lucinda, in the process of researching your own book, you researched a number of classic etiquette books as well.
I did.
What were some of the more bizarre etiquette advice that you found in those pages?
Yes, I came across some really... I mean, etiquette books are funny, aren't they? They're big and they're detailed and you think, oh, gosh. When I read them, I thought, how did people actually follow these? So there were ones like a lady named Amy Vanderbilt, who wrote a book called The New Complete Book of Etiquette, The Guide to Gracious Living from 1952. Mm-hmm. Now, that book, Sheridan, was 740 pages long.
Oh, wow. That's a thesis.
It's a really big book. I'm now using it as a doorstop. But it's got stuff in there about how to address your Chinese gardener or the youngest son of a duke.
Well, I must find out. I've always wondered how to address my Chinese gardener.
What to wear when you're fox hunting. How to address your envelope when your correspondent is a member of the British House of Commons and also happens to be a lord. So, you know, a lot of it feels so madly nonsensical and sort of an era that's thankfully gone, where etiquette was sort of reinforcing class snobberies and all that kind of thing.
Well, that raised a question in my mind there. We hear of those kinds of etiquette principles that we now laugh at, and you kind of go, well, how much is etiquette based in culture, or are there actually some ways of relating to each other that seem to be transcendent? They seem to be just good everywhere through every time.
Oh, that's such an interesting question, isn't it? I guess I agree with you. I think, for instance, there's things like... We are confronting the challenges of technological change, you know, and how do we create... So each era, as you say, each era and each culture has to find the manners that work for it in its time. But I agree with you. I think there are things that transcend time, and I do think it's things like keeping your word, obeying the law, looking after people weaker than you, really simple things like that, waiting your turn... You know, I think these are things in every culture and society that functions that people will do.
Mm. And deference to age as well. I wonder if that's one we've lost a lot. What you've already said is we've taken some things too far, particularly the self stuff. Maybe we've taken egalitarianism too far too, where we don't pay appropriate respect to those that are older than us.
Yes, and I think I completely agree. And you know, the place where it most alarms me is in schools. Where, and a number of school teachers have told me that, you know, when we were growing up, when I was growing up, when the teacher came into the class, the children would all stand up and say, good morning, Mrs. Whatever, or Mr. Whatever. And apparently that's gone, and it's all part of this idea that children have rights and they're equal and everything. But, you know, when I stood up for people on the bus, for adults, when I did showed respect to them, the way I presented myself to them, called them Mr. or Mrs. whatever, I didn't feel that I was somehow lowering my own rights or self-esteem. I felt that it was raising my self-esteem, that I was, you know, part of a society and that one day children would address me with respect. And I agree, I think that's really disappeared and it's such a shame.
Lucinda, I believe you also worked for the Department of Foreign Affairs at one stage, is that right?
I did. Yeah. I was sort of in and part of the Foreign Affairs, you know, there's sort of an establishment of departments that provide foreign policy advice and as part of the diplomatic service for about 10 years.
Well, you would have had then contact with a number of cultures. How etiquette... full was the was DFAT.
Yes, look, it's funny. It's completely full of etiquette, of course, Sheridan, because the way that you conduct international relations successfully is through a whole series of protocols and courtesies that have been in place for hundreds of years, thousands of years since the ancient Greeks. So So things like diplomatic immunity, that means when I went to represent Australia living in another country, I didn't have to pay taxes and I had certain privileges. And so when people from that country came to Australia, they get the same thing. Now, that seems like a funny old-fashioned privilege, but it was all about meaning that two countries could keep their lines of communication open even during a war. They would have people to negotiate with. So these courtesies, which seem kind of daggy and dowdy, were and are really important to underpin peace and stability. And in a funny way, I think perhaps that's influenced me very much thinking about how society works as well.
Mm.
These little gestures, so important to making the system work properly.
Yeah. I'm also interested to see that Chapter 6 of your book, Why Manners Matter, is actually titled Because McDonald's Doesn't Own Manners.
Yes.
Where are you going with that?
A few years ago, Prime Minister Howard gave some great praise to places like McDonald's and said that they were places where young people learnt manners. And that's actually true in a way. I had friends who worked at McDonald's when I was growing up, and, you know, they're very polite and they learn manners. But what I wanted to say there was when it's done for a commercial reason, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the same when you teach young people to say, how are you and have a nice day, because they're going to be paid a certain sum of money an hour. I would hate to think that it was only about money. I think it's about being a citizen and how you relate to the world. So I felt very depressed at the idea that McDonald's was the sort of vanguard of civilization.
Absolutely.
Not to criticise McDonald's and what it does, but just that that's not what I think manners are about. Manners are not about you pay someone to be polite.
Absolutely.
Manners are a gift that you give because you're a human being in the world.
What does it say about our culture and our society when we're actually leaving it up to fast food franchises to actually teach our kids
exactly. I know.
Etiquette.
It's just frightening.
Yeah.
And, you know, the flip side of that, though, is I really struggled with this and I thought, do you know what? The people that I am rudest to are people in work. You know, when they ring you up to do a phone survey when you're trying to sit down and have a glass of wine after work, or someone's sort of curt with you in a shop or you get bad service. Now, that was part of me noticing that, you know, I'd want to send a message to a company, but in the end, I was being rude to a human being, just doing their job, better for better or worse.
Lucinda, I know that the book is still fairly new, but have you been called a do-gooder yet?
Looked at me sceptically, I must say. But Sheridan, the person that's been most sceptical has been my mother. And when I rang her up and said, Mum, I'm writing a book on manners, there was a shocked silence down the phone. She said, you? So that wasn't a good start. She's come around now and she has decided that I'm actually all right on the topic. But you can get paralysed by feeling, oh, am I entitled to talk about this or that? And I thought, I care about this issue, it's important, so I'm going to write about it, I'm going to have my say and see if I can find enough people that care about this subject as well, and perhaps we can, you know, just quietly in little ways, just work together to make a difference.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you've got a few of us with you tonight, I'm sure.
That's great.
It's good to talk to you tonight, Lucinda. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Sheridan.
Yeah, that's Lucinda Holdsforth. She's the author of Why Manners Matter. It's published through Random House Books.
We hope you enjoyed this Heart 1032 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit heart1032.com.au.